I'm going to open the lines, and if anyone has something that they'd like to share, any breakthroughs, any insights, any ahas, any movement, we'd love to hear about it. Dawn posted some fabulous before and after photos of her first major area of declutter on the site, and that was really terrific. Jenny, I see you're on the call, which I'm delighted, and I will be on tomorrow and will be responding. Thank you very much for catching me up on what was going on with your court case. I have messages for many of you, and I will be on the site tomorrow posting. In the meantime, let's see, if you have anything that you'd like to share, hit star 2 and put your hands up if you are live on the call. And then for those of you who are on the webcast, send your messages in. Okay, and we have more people on the call. Okay, Anne. Anne, I am opening the lines, and it's your call. So tell us what's been happening.
I really don't have a long list of tolerations. I pretty much am handling what I can handle and giving myself the freedom not to handle what I can't right now.
Okay, great. What you do have on the list, do you have tolerations that you know you have the capacity to, that are within your control? And do you have some that are not in your control?
No, anything that is a toleration is beyond my control right now. I've pretty much done everything I could with the ones that I could control.
Terrific. Okay, good. So as we are having this conversation about spiritual clutter, you can look at what you have in terms of the things that are outside your control and see if the things that we discuss, whether they suggest possibilities or ways of approaching whatever that challenge is.
Seems to be out of my control that everybody tells me I can control and I'm doing what I can, like, is the happiness despair one. You know, I can skip around, I can dance to music, but it doesn't make me happy.
What was the specific toleration?
The toleration is the days that I'm not happy, tolerating being less than happy.
Tolerating being less than happy.
But I'm supposed to love myself there.
I'm just going to get into it a little bit, and because it is on the theme of spiritual clutter for sure. Who says you have to be happy all the time?
Well, I just like to be happy more of the time.
Well, I understand that.
What I don't like is the days I wake up that I don't want to be here. It's
okay.
The extreme that is what is hard to tolerate.
So that's going to be a great part of our conversation, because having a conversation like that, you've described that as a toleration, but really it's an inability to be with what is. There are days you wake up and you don't want to be here.
Yes.
Is that 90% of the time?
No. About 50, just about every other day.
Okay. And on the other days, how do you feel?
Pretty happy and bubbly and flowing along with what is.
Okay. So one question is to look at why it's a problem for you not to feel that way 50% of the time, and What is the feeling under that feeling? What is causing that sense of I don't want to be here?
I don't know, Adelaide, because it has, I mean, like, I had checks coming in today outside. Everything is looking really great, and and I'm in that space today. And I have done Tony Robbins, jumping up and saying yes and celebrating. I've done Dee Wallace's stuff. I've put on music to dance to, and nothing pulls me out of it. I look in the mirror and tell myself how much I love myself. I'm doing everything I know to.
But everything that you're doing is to pull yourself out of it.
Or to accept it.
How do you accept it?
I don't want to do is curl up in a ball and do nothing all day. I've actually even got through a box of clutter and threw a bunch of stuff away. I've cleared my emails. I'm functioning, but not
so
at the level I'd like to.
So the way you deal with feelings that you don't like to have is to reach for tools that are to help you get out of the feeling and get out of the way you feel. And to keep functioning. And what you try to do is to keep functioning. What would happen if you curled up in a ball for a day?
I've done that. I've done that for several days. Yeah.
Okay. And
nothing much.
And was that a problem?
No, I'm free to do that. I have the freedom to do that.
I know you have the freedom, but was it a problem for you that you did it? Was it a problem to spend
time? Not really. Not really, but, you know, I'd like it to be over. I don't want it to keep going on. I think I'm using curling up in a ball is another way for having it pass. This too shall pass.
Having what pass?
The mood, the state.
The mood. Okay. So one thing I would say is what would happen or when you let yourself curl up in a ball for 3 or 4 days, after the 3 or 4 days, did you naturally allow yourself to come out of it when you came out of it?
I come out of it after 1 day.
Okay.
It doesn't last more than a day usually.
Okay. So given that you are blessed enough to have a fair degree of freedom, what would happen if instead of resisting the feeling, you surrendered to it, like it's not a problem. This is how it shows up. And maybe even journal and explore the feeling. I mean, if this went on for days and months at a time and you were terrified that you were really getting into a depression, but you seem to spend more energy pulling yourself out of it than actually just allow yourself to feel what you're feeling. And
okay.
Just explore the feeling. You're a meditator, aren't you?
I go inside a lot. I don't know if you'd call it meditation, but okay. I do spend a lot of time inside.
And in meditation, in any mindfulness practice, we spend our time just observing the phenomenon. And I would invite you to allow yourself to go with what's happening. Yes, if it goes on and on and on, then there's a real problem. But the resistance, most of our suffering comes out of resisting whatever's going on. So what would happen if for the next week or two you allowed yourself to curl up in a ball because you're lucky, you have the freedom, you could actually do that, or whatever it is. Just allow yourself to go with the emotion, but just explore and observe the phenomenon and see where that takes you. Like, it's no problem reacting that way, but let's just see how long am I in this place for. It's not a problem. I'm here just observing it. And see when it shifts. And because you have lots of tools when you are happy and positive and in action and doing things. So you're familiar with that. So explore the other as you would in a meditation. Be mindful and just observe it. How long would that last?
Okay.
Okay. All right, so let's see if anyone else has anything to say, and then we will get on the topic. And hi, Lillian, I see you're here. We have a couple of other people who've joined on the webcast. I'm going to see who's there. And those of you who are on the call, if you'd like to say anything, do hit the star 2. Okay. Angela's here. Lovely. Dawn is here. Hi, Dawn. Loved your photos. Really awesome. So cool. And all right, we're going to get started. We are going to talk about spiritual clutter today. The way I'm going to do this is we'll cover some material and then I will open it up for questions or whatever comments you might like to make. And then at a certain point, we will look at the tolerations sheets that you have and see if there are items that you would like to explore in light of the things that I am sharing about spiritual clutter. So the first thing I would like to say about decluttering is that we often focus on decluttering in terms of all the physical clutter that we need to get rid of. And yet, I think decluttering is actually, can be a very powerful spiritual practice. The qualities and emotions we associate with clutter are stress, sadness, anger, confusion, overwhelm, chaos, fatigue, anxiety, disappointment, guilt, shame, blame, resentment, worry, and fear. I'm sure all of you have experienced some of those feelings around some of your clutter, the stuff you can't let go of, stuff you don't want to take a look at, stuff that you feel guilty because you wasted money and spent the money, stuff that you can't make decisions about, and so on, and stuff that you just wish would disappear magically so that you didn't have to go through it and deal with it. Well, look at those qualities and emotions, and I wonder how many of those qualities and emotions are directed at yourself for having the clutter. Just notice and just check in and say, which of these emotions, what emotions do you direct at yourself because you're upset with yourself, or disappointed with yourself, or you're angry at yourself, or you're beating yourself up because you haven't cleared it quickly enough, because you're not doing it effectively, because it's going on, because you can't make decisions, or there's an expectation that somehow you aren't fulfilling. Now, let's look at the qualities of the spirit. Peace. Happiness. Clarity, integrity, wholeness, creativity, inspiration, purpose, abundance, passion, power, beauty, love, joy, confidence, gratitude, faith, serenity. Those are the qualities of the spirit. Now, if you are saddled with all those other emotions and those thoughts, all of that is taking up your energy. It's creating blocked energy in your life. How can you experience the qualities of the spirit that you want when you have, and I think the number was over 65% of the stuff that we have, we don't use. We have homes that are just filled with all of this stuff that we're not using, that we don't even know what some of it is, and it's kept in boxes and in shelves and in rooms, but we really aren't using it, and they're not part of our present tense existence. So we are literally blocking the qualities that we want to have because there's no space for those qualities to be fully present in our lives. In the same way, It's hard to get clear on our life purpose and fully experience the connection with Source, or to hear our divine guidance, our intuition, to be fully expressed creatively and be able to have the relationships and the kinds of experiences we want to have, and particularly peace of mind, because of all the noise, the mental and emotional noise we have from our clutter. If you think about it, all spiritual growth involves learning to let go. The more we hold on, the more we suffer, and the more stuck we are. So if you're holding on to an idea, or to a possession, or the way you think things ought to be, you're going to suffer. You're going to be, something's wrong, and that's what you're essentially telling yourself. Life is a process of learning to let go of our attachments, whether it's to our stuff or to beliefs we've had that are erroneous, whether it's to an old identity that we had that we are still attached to, whether it's to relationships that we had that we haven't let go of. We go through a process of learning to let go of them in order to live in the present. Now, a lot of people have a really hard time with letting go, and they spend a lot of the time living in the past or living in the future. Spiritual growth is about our capacity to live in the present, because the present is the only thing we have. Right now, this moment, we're here. We have no idea what's going to happen 10 minutes from now, an hour from now, and we have no control over that. We can only have control or a capacity to choose in the present. And as for the past, it's gone. Whatever you like, whatever you feel about it, it's gone. You can change your interpretation, and that's about all you can change. And if you change your interpretation, it can empower you in your present. If you look at your own life, we constantly find ourselves having to let go. As a child, you believe in fairies, and you believe in magic and all the things that your parents tell you, and the tooth fairy and all of those things, and then you discover it's not true. You believed in Santa Claus, and then you found out it's the neighbor down the road dressed in a costume. And we have a lot of our beliefs and our assumptions about life constantly shattered as we're growing up. And we try and figure out our way and to discover our own identity. Parents have to let go of their children. Recently, I was with my brother. He is part of the new generation. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, most of my friends, along just like myself and my brother, we couldn't wait to leave home. We were just excited about getting out on our own and, frankly, getting away from our parents. This generation of children, I see with my brothers and sister, they are so attached to home and their parents are so attached to them. And it's lovely in one way, but the parents are so involved in their lives, and they have a very hard time letting go. My sister-in-law cried for 3 weeks after her first child went to college, and after the second went, she was literally a basket case. And my brother didn't know what to do, and it really, after a while, he was saying, you know, I feel totally like a spare. I'm not important. I'm not in the equation. And there is no focus on our relationship. It's very hard when people have to deal with letting go. And when they refuse to let go, it can create a lot of suffering on their part and on the part of people around them. And it can also affect our health. And after a certain point, the girls, their daughters, got tired of their mother calling them long distance every single day. As they got involved in college, they had a lot to do, and they had their lives. They adore their mother, but it was important for her to begin to move on, and eventually she got a new job that took a lot of time and energy and was exciting, and she began the process of moving on. The more you can let go of your clutter, the less attachment you have, and the more you are in the present tense. And it's only in the present that you can actually create and manifest whatever it is you want in your life. And it's only in the present that you can really experience the qualities of the spirit. And you can only do that when you create the space to do so. Focusing on your physical clutter and not addressing the mental, emotional, and spiritual clutter is like focusing on the symptoms, health symptoms, which is what allopathic traditional medicine tends to do. And you can get rid of the symptoms, but if you don't address the root cause, what you discover is that the problem is still there and it'll come back. It may move around in the body, but the problem will just keep morphing. So if you don't address the root cause, you will find that over time the clutter will come back into your life. What's really important is addressing the attitude and belief that are attached to the clutter. What I've discovered is that the true clutter which prevents people from accomplishing their work and really enjoying their lives is the mental, emotional, and spiritual clutter. I believe that each of us were put on this earth for a specific purpose, that we have a life purpose. And if you are someone who finds yourself, you know, you're asking yourself, what is it, what's next for me? And you have a hard time finding your life purpose and listening to your intuition and really just making the space for yourself and giving yourself permission to feel what you're feeling and to allow yourself to go with what's showing up in your life, you will find that a lot of that is because you haven't dealt with the emotional clutter that is attached to a lot of the stuff. And when you aren't clear about your purpose, when you're not clear about who you are and what you want and what your true needs are, and if you're spending a lot of time satisfying other people and what you think you should or should not do, and a lot of that is based on old tapes, it's not really current, you will find that you won't be able to get as much out of your life, and life will pass you by. A lot of the time, people approach their clutter from the organizational point of view, and it's helpful, it's useful. We need to do that. But clutter isn't just a space problem that is solved by having the right bin and organization. It is about the false beliefs, the hidden beliefs, the fears and attachments, and it requires a shift in our attitude and approach to our possessions. And unless you really are willing to take a look at that and just explore it and be gentle with yourself in the process, the clutter will tend to come back. Let's look at what spiritual clutter is. It includes the thoughts and the worries that waste our time and energy. We've talked about mental clutter and the thousands of thoughts we have a day and how a lot of them are the same mental clutter that we've had for days and months and years. We talked about the need to identify our mental clutter and begin clearing it. And I gave you a couple of tools to delete it, to learn how to shift out of that thinking. But our spiritual clutter also is caused by the emotions that we hold on to, the ones that we've talked about, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the guilt, and particularly the emotions that consume us. The guilt and the anger and the resentment and the envy and the unwillingness to forgive. Those are emotions that consume. They take over the personality. They fill your thoughts, and they're very hard to let go of. Well, they can be if you keep playing the tapes over and over again. Here are some suggestions that will help with spiritual clutter. Replacing negative thoughts with positive thoughts. That's why I gave you all the no complaints exercise. And one of the things that I've learned from doing the course, and when, for those of you who decide to do it the next time, I'm actually going to take 2 weeks for each item, and we will do a week when we approach it from the inside out, because really it's an inside out process. Clearing your clutter is an inside out process, and we've made it a outside in process where we start with the physical, which is the end result of the mental thinking and the emotions. We have thoughts, and then we attach emotions to it, and we give meaning to the events that and the thoughts that we've had. We find an interpretation or a meaning, and then we really lock it into ourselves and often into our bodies, literally at a cellular level. When we are able to release that, we clear the energy, we allow ourselves to get lighter, to get freer, and we're able to create space for something new. The no complaints exercise was a really simple way to begin to just see how you think and to see the patterns and to see the way it runs you. At the same time, you get to deal with your physical clutter as you will, but the exercise of no complaints is just something you can watch and observe in your life. And if you notice, as you shift and become aware of your complaints and you don't complain and you really begin to mind your language and mind your thoughts, it lifts your mood. It shifts you and it raises your vibration. It just happens that way. So you experience more of the qualities that you want in your life, the joy and so on. If you feel up, if you feel positive, if you have more energy, you're more likely to continue to make positive changes in your life. You're more likely to declutter. You're more likely to choose things you love, and you're more likely to say, I deserve to have that. It sort of happens organically. The second thing that is so important in terms of our spiritual clutter is that it's deciding and really discovering what your true priorities are. The questions that you ask yourself around the clutter that you have, you may not have had a chance to really listen to the two sessions that I added to the site on emotional clutter, but asking yourself questions about why you're holding on to things, asking yourself why they're important to you, and what is the emotion that is showing up around the item, helps you to get clear on your priorities. What are your priorities? What's really important to you? What is your vision for your life? What is it that you want? Not what somebody else wants or what they think about you or their opinions, not things that you've heard or you believed about yourself before. What is it that you want in your life now? What are your goals? What are your values? Those are the things that shape your priorities, and we act out of that. Now, if you haven't done the inner work to decide what those priorities are, it can really cause you to make decisions that you can regret later. So I want to share a story with you, and it's really sad. This was a case of someone who had a lot of clutter in her life. Clutter in the sense of, yes, there was physical clutter, but there was also clutter mentally. There hadn't been that sorting out of what's really important. What are the things that I care about? So there was overwhelm in work. There was tons of things on her to-do list, an inability to really prioritize, tolerating a boss who constantly gave work at the last minute, created crises, kept her working late, and not meeting obligations and commitments to family. This client of mine, that was a pattern of her life. She came to me as a spiritual coach when this happened to her. Basically, her brother, who lived in another country, he traveled a lot, came in from out of town. Her boss once again had thrown a project at her. It was an important project. They always were all important. She was working late. And she was a lawyer, and so they're always working impossible hours. Her brother was in town, was only available for a couple of hours, and asked her if she could come and meet him for dinner. She said no, she had a deadline, she had to get this project out, she couldn't come. He really would have liked to have seen her. So they ended up talking on the phone, and he said, well, if you could just make a little bit of time, maybe you could just meet me for dessert or whatever. She thought she would do that, but of course her boss called her, she got caught up in the work. By the time she finished, her brother was no longer available, and she hadn't seen him. She talked to him briefly. He took a flight, and he was gone. Her brother had a heart attack 2 days later, and he died. It was a huge missed opportunity, and when she sat down and had to face the fact that she hadn't made getting together with him a priority. She hadn't even attempted to have the conversation with her boss. She had just bought into the idea that here was another crisis, here was another deadline, here was another account that had to be serviced. And she had missed out on spending time with her brother. It is really important that we deal with our clutter, because her emotional clutter, her toleration was she was working for someone who made unreasonable demands, who constantly disrespected her time, overworked her, constantly encroached on her family time, her relationships. She sacrificed her relationships with men, her relationships with her family. Those were the things that she would say were important, but she didn't show it in her behavior, and she didn't tackle her boss. She just put up with it and complained. And at the end of the day, because she wasn't dealing with her clutter, she made a choice and decision that was not in alignment with her priorities. And it was a decision that she could never change. The outcome was irreversible. So it's really important to get clear on our priorities. And it's important to decide to live in a manner that's consistent with our desires, our goals, and our values. An aspect of clearing our spiritual clutter is to actually to be our word. The things that we say are important to you, and what you say matter, need to be reflected in the choices you make and the things that you do. I had a coach, Brett Costin, who used to say the collars and the cuffs have to match. And I like that, because so many people say one thing and do another. And I find I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. But it is so important to really make a point of being impeccable with your word. Recently, I got hold of the four agreements and looked at them again, and I think they are one of the most powerful tools in terms of the way we choose to live our lives. It really a code in terms of clearing our spiritual clutter. For those of you who don't know what the four agreements are, they were based on a book by Don Miguel Ruiz. The first agreement was to be impeccable with your word. What he said was it was about speaking with integrity. Say only what you mean. So his was say what you mean and don't use your word against yourself or gossip about others and use the power of your word in the direction of truth and love. So that is a really powerful spiritual practice. I take it a step further because I think it's the one that I sometimes find myself challenged on in terms of overcommitting, which is I'll say I'm going to do something and then I don't get it done at the time because I tend to overcommit. But being impeccable with our word and speaking with integrity and really learning to say only what we mean and what we can be accountable for is really critical and powerful spiritual practice that will help us clear clutter. It forces you to take the things off your to-do list, the things that you commit to get narrowed down if you say, I have to be my word. You're going to commit to less. You're going to get very clear about what you actually care about and are willing to stand for. So a lot of stuff gets eliminated and you will let it go. If you look down at your list of tolerations, there are, I don't know, some of you may have found as you went down that list of tolerations, there were things that you cared about and things that weren't all that important, and you eliminated them. When you also do incompletions, which is another practice, just writing down all the things that are incomplete, all the incomplete projects and commitments in your life, you find out very quickly when you apply the being impeccable with your word that you've got a whole list of things that you've made commitments to that you need to just eliminate. Every time you eliminate, you're actually just clearing the space in your life for something else to come in, and you're letting go of all of those negative qualities and emotions that are weighing you down. You literally are lightening up your suitcase that you keep dragging around with you with all this stuff. The second agreement is don't take anything personally. That is really powerful too, because it asks us to get that nothing anyone does is because of us, and that everything that they say and do is a projection of their own reality. And when you are immune to the opinions and actions of other people, you will reduce your suffering. Again, we've had experiences as we've been going through this program where people are afraid to let go of their possessions because of things that other people are going to think, family members, friends. Oftentimes, it's people who aren't even there anymore, but you're still worried about what they think. And then worse of all is that you keep telling yourself you should do certain things or you shouldn't do them. And the question is, who is saying that? Who is saying that? And you find out that if you really explore, it's a parent, it's someone else in your life, and oftentimes you're just repeating these things to yourself. And you ask yourself, why am I telling myself I should do that? Why should I do it? Do I want to do it? Is this in alignment with the things that are important to me? Is this in alignment with my goals for my life right now? Is this in alignment with my values right now? To actually take some time and find out what is important to me at this point in my life. And are these things necessary or supporting me? and eliminating all of those things that don't make the cut. That if you haven't bothered to articulate and really ask yourself and explore and what is really important to you and what, if you like, kind of what are my priorities? How do I want to live my life? What kind of a environment do I want to have? What kind of a life do I want to create? If you haven't asked those questions, you are going to be pulled in different directions and hold on to things that no longer serve you. The third agreement is don't make assumptions. And it truly is amazing all the assumptions we tend to make. So many times we are afraid to ask questions and to express what we really want. And you may find around some of your tolerations in the second category that you begin to notice that it's hard to really express what you want. And it's hard to ask questions. And it's hard sometimes to have conversations with people about certain things. And communicating with others clearly so that you can avoid misunderstandings and actually find out where are they. You might think that something is more important to someone than it really is. I had another case. She had a difficult mother, and she and her sister were in the habit of getting on the phone and complaining about mom, what mom had done now, how demanding mom was, and they would have this conversation. And after she'd talked to me about this a couple of times, she realized that it was a very unproductive conversation, and it was really impacting her relationship with her sister because they kept going around in this very negative way, gossiping about their mother, essentially. But it didn't move their relationship forward, and it didn't help their relationship with mom. She was afraid, though, to say anything to her sister, and long story short, after some coaching, she decided to bring it up with her sister. And when her sister started yet another story about their mother, she interrupted her and said, "You know, I need to tell you, and I hope you won't be offended because I know I've been just as guilty of this, but I don't want to keep having this particular conversation about mom. I don't think it's helping our relationship with her, and I just don't want us to talk in this way anymore." And there was a pause, and then her sister said, "I know, you're right, and I've been thinking the same thing too, but it was such a habit that we've gotten into that I didn't even think, I just started it again." There and then, they made the commitment to just end that conversation. And in ending the conversation, their relationship with their mother began to shift. There was an assumption that she made. It was difficult for her to bring up the conversation. She assumed her sister would be upset and defensive, but it actually created permission and opened the door for them to take a different course of action, and it actually improved all of their relationships all around. So, again, the four agreements, incredibly powerful. The fourth agreement, of course, is always do your best. I think that that's probably one that we would all endorse. The idea that, yes, our best is going to change from moment to moment, and it will be different at different times, but let us just simply do the best we can and avoid judging ourselves and avoid beating ourselves up. So one of the things that's so impressive about Anne, and as some of you have had the chance to get to know her, she has an incredibly positive spirit. She is rebuilding after having lost a lot of her possessions in a fire, and she's recreating her life. And as many of us know, recreating and starting life and a new chapter is both exhilarating and can be challenging. She approaches that with a lot of spirit and a lot of present-mindedness. And yet, as she was sharing today, there was that aspect of self-judgment. And the fourth agreement really encourages us to be kind to ourselves. She's doing her best. She's doing her best, and she has great days and some days that are not so great. But perhaps even that is a judgment. She has days when she feels energetic and energized and she's very productive, and she has days when she wants to curl up. She's doing her best. And so perhaps as we all give ourselves permission for those days when we need to curl up or to say, I need a time out, and it's okay, and trust ourselves that as we allow ourselves to just be where we are, we have the incredible wisdom that Anne has displayed so often to kind of know when it's time to come out of it, that it's okay to just be with where we are. The four agreements are an incredible, incredible tool. So if you haven't read them for a long time, I encourage you to do so. And if you don't know them, buy the book. But they're really simple, and they're a powerful spiritual tool in terms of how to live our lives. Another way of clearing our spiritual clutter is practicing gratitude. You've all heard how important gratitude is, and many of you, I'm sure, have a gratitude practice. If you allow yourself to practice gratitude on a daily basis, practice it by writing it down or saying what you're grateful for in the morning and at night when you go to bed, taking the time to just express your gratitude, it is such a powerful practice in shifting us into those positive spiritual states in which we connect. It actually brings us into alignment with spirit. It just does, because when we practice gratitude, we practice a having consciousness. It puts us in the frequency of receiving miracles and blessings. It is God consciousness. It is the consciousness of I have what I need. I am receiving. My life is a life where I receive. I am blessed. And you literally become a vibrational match for all of the gifts of the universe. So that is a great practice. Jim and I have a little ritual where if one of us is having a bad day and we are having a moment, the other one has a responsibility to remember, you know, to hold the hands. I hold his hands or he holds mine and says in that moment, what are you grateful for? And it's a way of just coming back into the present and taking the time to just think right now of one thing that you're grateful for. And it brings you back into the present moment. It takes you out of whatever anxiety or whatever mental clutter or emotional clutter you've got yourself caught up in, so that you can just come right back, a spiritual principle that you can anchor yourself in that reminds you of the truth of who you are and the truth of the world that you live in, the truth that you are a spiritual being, and that as a spiritual being, those qualities of wholeness and of peace and joy and love and abundance are present in your life because you begin to identify it in the moment. Let's talk about the things that we do take personally, another opportunity to look at the four agreements, and that is the grievances, the resentments, the judgments. Those are often things that we hold on to. We go through our lives and somebody does something, in quotes, against us. We are hurt. we are let down. And it can be very easy in that situation to feel justified in holding a grievance or a resentment. And oftentimes, the way we handle that emotional or spiritual clutter is we paper over it. We often don't allow ourselves to really feel what we feel so that we can actually get to the other side of it, nor do we find a way to acknowledge or release it. We paper over the feeling and we hold on to it. And the more we hold on to those feelings, the more it consumes us. We see families where something happened and there's a dispute and members of the family just don't speak to each other for years. We have a situation like that in our family. One of Jim's brothers has had a falling out with his son and they haven't spoken for 3 years. When you hear the reasons, both of them have their reasons for the position that they have taken, but 3 years have gone by. And both of them are so invested in their positions and so clear that the other person is wrong that they're going to allow more years to go by. Neither of them are willing to get off it. The years go by, and oftentimes people really don't even remember all the details and the specifics. All they're doing is to hold on to that resentment and hold on to those feelings. Now, unforgiveness is probably the worst kind of spiritual clutter that we can hold on to, because the lack of forgiveness that we direct at others actually just rebounds and impacts us. I am going to send you an entire interview that I did with Anna Holub. Anna Holub is a forgiveness counselor, and I had a conversation with her 2 days ago, and she included a beautiful process that I think you will find very useful as you look at the things you're tolerating and maybe actually sit down and look to see, is there someone who you're carrying a grievance against or feel resentful or feel upset about and you aren't letting it go? And really explore whether it is time to forgive. Oftentimes we think that we have forgiven. We have done our forgiveness practices. And then we will find that something happens. And it's kind of shocking to find out some of the feeling is still there. There's still residual feeling left over. So it's really important to allow yourself to go the full distance and see whether you can truly release the emotion and let it go. And sometimes we have to go through layers with forgiveness because we carry the wounds or whatever it is that we feel has been done to us, we carry it, and it really has a powerful hold of on us. There's a Sufi saying, as long as there's room in your heart for one enemy, your heart is not a safe place for a friend. So think about that. And as long as you have room in your heart for an enemy, you really cannot be the love and have the peace that you want in your life, because you're carrying around this kind of emotional and spiritual clutter. Letting go of resentments, letting go of bitterness, letting go of old scores and grievances, and being willing to forgive is absolutely critical because it weighs us down. Now, we all had an extraordinary example of forgiveness in the last couple of weeks with the incident that took place in Charleston. I don't know about you, but it was inspiring, humbling, and extraordinary. But at a certain level, when we witness incidents like that, we ask ourselves, could I do that? Could I possibly forgive that? it feels like something that it perhaps is bigger, especially because they were able to do it so quickly after the incident. And I did hear one of them say that they were still angry, and yet they chose forgiveness, and it is that conscious choice. I don't know if you have read the book by Immaculée Ely Baghiza, and if you haven't, it's an extraordinary story. It's a book called Left to Tell. It's a story about a young girl, a university student in the Rwandan Holocaust, who ended up with a group of women living in literally a toilet for, I think there were about 8 or 9 of them in a toilet for over 3 months. They lived in that space in a house of a minister, and it was sort of like an Anne Frank thing where they were locked away and with the killers constantly coming back to the house and searching for them but not finding them, and their protector oftentimes being very volatile in terms of whether he might turn them in, and yet they managed to survive. She lost every member of her family except for one brother, yet she went back to Rwanda and actually confronted one of the main people who had killed her family, and she had known him before when everybody seemed to get along, and she forgave him. And I remember again reading that story and thinking, where from? How could someone do that? And in every case, it was not something they could do of their own accord. It was something that it took a higher power, and it took that act of turning it over to their higher power to support and help them through the experience that allowed them to forgive. In all of our lives, a lot of the acts we have to forgive may not be as big as that, but they're still very painful. If you have an issue in your family that has perhaps torn apart the family, or a friend has let you down, or an ex-lover or a husband or a child, they have disappointed you and just grieved you. To really let go and forgive requires something that often we in our humanity can't do on our own. And that is why using forgiveness practices, the Hawaiian system of forgiveness, Ho'oponopono, is a very powerful one, and I will send you a sheet that talks about the different stages of forgiveness and how to use the Ho'oponopono practice. It's a very simple but very powerful practice. And as I said, you will get the interview with Anna Holub, which really will, she actually does a process on the call as well as answering a lot of questions. And she takes you through a forgiveness tool that comes out of the workshop that she does that is very powerful indeed. Learning to forgive others and learning to forgive ourselves is so critical, because oftentimes the hardest person to forgive is you. We can be so judgmental and so hard on ourselves, so disappointed because we let down the person, the highest part of ourselves, and it's important to love ourselves and to recognize that often we're doing the best we can with the information that we have at the time. Forgiving others and forgiving ourselves really opens the door for us to let go of the clutter that we're carrying that are burdening our hearts and our minds and standing in the way of the things that we want to create. When you practice forgiveness, you unblock your heart and you experience emotional freedom, and emotional freedom cannot be underestimated. And what you feel the other person did to you is no longer running your life. And when that happens, it actually opens the door for miracles to come in. Faith. Faith is a big one in terms of part of why we hold on to our clutter and we hold on to the things that we've talked about in terms of spiritual clutter. It's really not having the faith that we will be helped and supported through the experiences, that there is another side that you come out to, that you can go through the emotion, that you can go through the experience, that you can let go of whatever it is you've been carrying, and that one, you don't have to trust and rely on your own power to do it, and two, you can come out on the other side, and that when you let go, something better is going to come into your life. A lot of the times when we hold on to our physical clutter, it is so often about that unwillingness to trust that when we let go of an old identity, for example, something will open up, that we will be given the creativity, we will be given the opportunity, we will have the ideas, we will have the person show up with the opportunity that will open a whole new other chapter in our lives. We hold on to threes and fours of things. We stock up. We tell ourselves we're going to use things because we're afraid to let go. We don't think we have enough. We don't trust that the universe will support us. So faith is critical in terms of letting go. Letting go requires us to trust and to be able to relax and to surrender and know that the universe will bring you whatever is for your highest and best good. Whenever you release the old energy, you make space for the new. When we let go of the old, in fact, we're saying to the universe, I trust. I believe that there's something better on its way, and I'm willing to open up to it by letting go of what no longer serves me. It's a law of physics. Nature abhors a vacuum, and it will move to fill up the empty space. One of my favorite quotes is a quote that really speaks to trusting that the universe will provide you with what you need, and it goes like this. When you have come to the edge of all the light you know and are about to step off into the darkness of the unknown, faith is knowing one of two things will happen. There will be something solid to stand on, or you will be taught how to fly. Trust that the universe will provide you with what you need. If you can work on forgiveness, many of the other goals will become easier to accomplish. And perhaps I should actually add self-love. Forgiveness and self-love. Everybody recommends self-love, and I guess I must be in the minority, not in terms of recommending it, but talking about it as if, you know, oh yeah, I know what self-love is and I can do it. I have to say, I had a very hard time with self-love. I didn't really have a model for it, and I found it hard to do, and I found myself sort of saying, oh, well, okay, I should go have a massage or do something nice for myself, and would look to provide a physical thing like a massage or whatever to practice self-love. And for me, it took a long time to realize that self-love was oftentimes just allowing myself to be where I was, to acknowledge where I was, acknowledge that whatever was happening, I was doing the best that I could, and not constantly pushing and driving and shooting myself to death, trying to prove something, be something, fulfill something. So many of us have such high expectations of ourselves, and we can never do enough. So for me, the simple key to self-love was given me by Jo Dunning. I went to a workshop of hers, and she said a phrase, I don't know why we hear so many things, and sometimes just one gift that somebody says just registers and is exactly what you need to hear. And for me, it was the window to self-love. And it was this, be kind, be gentle, be loving. And I could remember that. And I know there's the mirror exercise and you should keep looking in the mirror and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. That one honestly didn't really work for me. But be kind, be gentle, be loving was really helpful because I could remember it. And when I was in a situation, I would say to myself, is that kind? Is that gentle? Is that loving? And I would do that in my relationship and ask myself, or if I was going to say something, I would ask myself, is that kind? Or I would say it and then I would look at it. Did I choose kindness? Did I choose gentleness? Did I choose love? And the more I practiced it and was gentle and loving with myself, rather than being disappointed and beating myself up and berating myself, the more I found I was that way with other people. I cut them slack. I was less judgmental. I had room for them. So when we practice loving ourselves and giving ourselves the space, giving ourselves permission, and perhaps that is one of the biggest things, we as women give other people in our lives a lot of permission. And sometimes that permission is we tolerate things from them that we should not tolerate. And we put up with behavior that we should not put up with. But we also love our children, our partners, our spouses, and we give them a lot of room. We know that when we see the potential and the highest and best in them, they're able to be their best selves. But we need to give ourselves the same kind of permission, the same kind of permission to make mistakes, the same kind of permission to acknowledge how we feel, the same kind of permission to speak up, the same kind of permission to just be where we are and have it be okay. And not feel like we've got to push and beat ourselves up and demand and demand and demand. Self-love. Be kind. Be gentle. Be loving. Practicing kindness and gentleness and love towards ourselves is a really powerful way of letting go of our spiritual clutter. And when we let go of our spiritual clutter. The more we can do that, the more we live in the present. And the present is where everything is possible. In the present, we get to create. In the present, we can enjoy our lives. We can do and have and be exactly who we want to be. So, the more we can allow ourselves to be in the present and let go of all of this clutter that is dragging us down, the lighter our suitcase will be, and hopefully we will be able to leave that suitcase behind us that we've been dragging with all this mental and emotional and spiritual clutter. We will feel so light and have so much internal space that we can easily begin to make the decisions and move through and let go of the things in our physical life that we now have clarity that we don't need, we don't want, and no longer serve us. Okay, I am going to check in with all of you. Any comments, any questions, any thoughts before we close out? I don't know why my hand is up, but Oh, Anne, your hand just went up. Okay.
I just want to say thank you. That's just what I needed to hear tonight.
Oh, thank you, Anne. I'm grateful to hear that. That's wonderful. And I have to say, I am so inspired by your journey, because I think of myself in a similar situation, and I find you approaching this chapter, this new chapter of your life, with courage and resilience and honesty. You inspire and encourage us all. So I want to let you know that.
Yes, thank you. And those last three words, kindness, loving, and gentle, is just what I need to do for myself. You're so right.
Good, good. All right. Anybody else with a comment and something to say? I see I didn't have time for the meditation, and it's a 15-minute process, so I'm happy to do it, but I don't want to go over your time. So if you'd rather I just did it and send it to you, I can do that too. So star 2 if anybody has anything to say. Otherwise, post on the website. And I thank you all for bearing with me about the website. We are so looking forward to moving to Facebook next time and creating a WordPress site, which will be much easier to negotiate. And for me, it was the first time I've used this, so my apologies for that. Okay, let's check the guys on the webcast and see if you guys have anything to say before we close. Oh, I got to do the meditation. All right. Okay, so here's what we'll do. I'm going to do the meditation. Those of you who have to leave will leave, and you will be able to hear it on the call when I post it. And those of you who would like to stay will get to enjoy it. Okay.